The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on August 11, 1981 in Calcutta, India. The class is on Vrindavan Bhajan, text 11 and 12.
To read Vrindavani Bhajan, which is written by Srila Prabhupada, which is following in the line of this, these verses of instruction. This is basically an instruction for people who have already entered in the path of devotion on the different types of mayas that can attack the mind. Once one has given up the gross attachment for sense gratification, for fruitive activity, the battle is not over. Then the next stage is that Maya attacks the mind in different ways. And these Mayas are more dangerous than the gross Mayas. If someone falls down into sex life or into some kind of intoxication or something, with some good preaching he can be easily, and good association he can be saved. But when one falls into these subtle mental desires and starts to, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained there was a certain syndrome where one, first of all, desires for some position which he compared as equal to the stool of a pig. Then the next thing is not getting satisfied. Then one starts to envy other devotees. And then in being absorbed is a certain flavor. Envying other people gives a certain kind of satisfaction that I'm good, I'm well situated because all these people are off. Then from there, one gives up the association of the devotees. Then one falls into complete illusions. But all along he's doing, not that he gives up the association of devotees and stops chanting. No, he continues chanting, continues practicing. But now he's separate. Now he's in his own small group or his own absolutely separate situation. And he says, I'm chanting, I'm still following. But actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur describes that this is a very dangerous maya, illusion. So he's praying to his mind, he's telling his mind, you materialistic mind, what type of Vaishnava are you? Why are you taking all these bad paths? So, in continuation of that, now we're reading verse 10. Sei duti kotha bhul na sarvotha uchoishore koro hori nam rabho atar jukta baddha ara mukto khabuna bhaviho ekakhara sabo. Sei duti kotha. Those few words spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one should water the creeper of devotional service with Savana Kirtana, and one should pull the weeds, avoid the offenses to the holy name, and pull out the unwanted weeds that grow in the heart along with the devotional creeper. These two actions, cultivating and weeding, should go on. Was discussed in the previous verse. The Sei Duti Kotha, don't forget those two instructions. Bhulna Sarvata, never make a mistake. Never forget these instructions at any time. Uchushare Koro Hari Nama Rabo, loudly chant the holy name of Krishna. In this way remain constantly in that Harinam Sankirtana. Atta jukta baddha mukto khabuna babhyo akakar sab. You don't think that never think that everything is all one. That the spirit soul is one with God in all respects, that a living entity in the material world is the same as a liberated soul. Never think that. So, here again, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is advising that we should constantly be engaged in loudly chanting the Harinam Sankirtan. Now, he has described that there are two types of Sankirtan, which is considered to be Uchu Sore, or very loud. That Sankirtan which has many devotees, Kol, Kartal, when they chant, it can be heard for maybe 1 kilometer or more. It can be heard for quite some distance in the neighborhood. This is one form of loud chanting of the Harinam with many devotees. The other type of loud chanting is known as the Brihat Midranga, or the Greater Midranga, that is the book distribution. By distributing the books authorized in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that transcendental literature delivers the glorification or the kirtana of the holy name to an unlimited distance. Devotees have been met who are in far secluded places, military camps, prisons, frontier outposts, where a book written by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, translation of the original Vedic scriptures with commentary, has fallen into their hands and has changed their lives. Simply by reading that literature, they have begun to chant Hare Krishna, and they have taken a change of heart just by that association. So this is a greater kirtana, because it is going very far. Loud, what is the meaning of loud? Loud means many people can hear. That is the definition that we are taking loud as. If nobody can hear, then that means it's quiet. So loud kirtan means performing the kirtan, the glorification of the Lord, in such a way that it reaches the ears, the minds of many fallen souls. So in both of these kirtans, the group congregational chanting with so many members, as well as the book distribution of transcendental literature, it requires a teamwork. To distribute books, one has to print the books, write the books, edit them, print them, then have to be shipped out, distributed. It requires a teamwork of many persons. To do the Sankirtan with Midranga drums and Kartal cymbals, it also requires a team effort. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he particularly appreciated this group effort for spreading his holy name. So one should never forget this instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and think that I will simply on my own chant Hare Krishna for my own liberation or even for spreading Krishna consciousness, but should stay in the mainstream of the Sankirtan movement. Stay along with the Vaishnavas as far as possible. This is the advice. So up to now we've been discussing the dangers of leaving the association of Vaishnavas. Here we see one other danger, that is Mayavad. Mayavadi philosophy is that everything is one. There's no difference, no differentiation between God and living entity, between one, between the material energy and the spiritual energy. There is a difference. But between the living entity, which is the spiritual energy of the Lord, and the Lord Himself, the Mayavadis try to indicate that there's no difference. But when the living entity is in this material world, he is conditioned by the laws of karma. And these cause and effect reactions bring him to so many situations, different births, different, sometimes he's happy, sometimes he's sad. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, kabu sarga uthaya kabu narakai dubai danda janaraja janonodite tu chubaya. Sometimes a living entity is raised to the heavenly planet to enjoy blissful material happiness with hardly any obstacles for an incredibly long period of time by our calculation. And then from there sometimes he's dragged down again into hellish existence. In this way, between happiness and distress, one is actually being dunked into this material world, just like a king used to punish medieval criminals by dunking them into the river until they almost drowned and then lifting them up just for a breath of air. Thus the conditioned soul is forced to suffer in this material world and is brought up sometimes for a breath of air. Then again, dunked back down into the miserable ocean of birth and death. So, this is a very dangerous position that the living entity falls into in the contact of this material world. But the Mayavadis, they think that, well, because this material world is temporary, it is an illusion. Therefore, actually we are all God. When you remove the illusion, we will see we are God. But if we are God, then how can God be put into illusion? That means that illusion is greater than God. Therefore the name Mayavadi. Maya means illusion and Vadi means one who propagates. So one who propagates the philosophy that illusion is God, they are an illusion. Therefore they are called Mayavadi. How can God fall under illusion? So Krishna, he describes that he is Maya Dakshena Prakriti. He is the basis of this illusory energy. Dvaiviyesha gunamai mama maya darattaya mameva jepapadyante maya metantarantite. This material energy is the divine potency of Krishna. And Krishna reassures us that someone who takes shelter at his lotus feet through practice of devotional service is guaranteed to be delivered. Otherwise, it is practically impossible for anyone to get absolutely free from the danger of falling and remaining in this material energy. Under the stringent laws that govern those who are imprisoned in this material energy or material prison house. So it is not that everything is one, everything is two. There is Krishna and his energy. There is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. This we should not forget. Neither we should ever indulge in hearing or thinking about such a philosophy, because that will ruin everything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one who thinks or hears this type of Mayavadi philosophy loses his discrimination in Krishna consciousness. He loses everything, therefore. The Mayavadis, kothas hunale, jivas harvonash. By hearing the words of a Mayavadi philosopher, a living entity loses everything, becomes grossly materialistic and fallen, or subtly polluted. In either case, his spiritual life is finished. So, in verse 11, it is said, Kanakka kamini pratishta bhagini chariyachi jare seto vaishnava se yonashakto se suddha bhakto sansar tatha paya parabhav. 11.
Kanakka kamini wealth and women and position, these are like tigers. One who has given up, he is a real or a pure Vaishnava. He is already renounced, he is really renounced, he is really a pure devotee. To him, material illusion accept defeat.
So, three type of tigresses are mentioned here. The desire for accumulating wealth and material positions, the desire for having a beautiful, obedient wife, association with beautiful women, and the desire for achieving material importance and position. Tigresses are famous for being one of the most ruthless of animals. Lions are considered to be the king of the cats, but actually many believe that tigers are the real king because the tigers are much more ruthless. At least, whether they're king or not, they are very dangerous. They have no mercy. When they have their victim, they will strike. And they're always hungry. Always hungry. So, these are, in other words, three great dangers to a transcendentalist on the path of spiritual realization. Wealth, women, and material position and fame. The desire for these things can devour our devotional service, ripping a heart out of our devotional service, just like a tiger rips out the heart of the animal. So, we should be careful. Anyone who wants to make advancement in Krishna consciousness and spiritual life, first thing he has to do is give up these, the desire for these materialistic things. Someone who gives up the desire for these materialistic activities is actually a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is a great exalted position. It means one who is already connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Krishna. A Vaishnava is someone who is on the transcendental platform. To perform devotional service, we have to be a Vaishnava. The qualification of being a Vaishnava means to give up desire for wealth, for sex enjoyment, and for material position, one's own importance. The qualification to serve Krishna is to be a Vaishnava, and these are the qualifications to be a Vaishnava. In other words, these are the qualifications to serve Krishna. Sometimes people come to our movement, to the Krishna consciousness movement, and they show tremendous enthusiasm for performing service. They seem to be very eager to do anything that they're asked. And they're seen touching the feet of Vaishnavas. But then after a short time, they steal something and run away. So Srila Prabhupada has described that there's a Bengali proverb, Ati bhakti chure lakhan. Too much devotion is symptom of a thief. That normally people have maya. They have attachment for wealth, they have attachment for sex life, they have attachment for material position. This is natural. So when someone joins, it's expected that there's going to be some subtle and gross attachment for these things. But a sincere devotee gives up the desire for these things as illusion. And he fights with this illusion, with this tendency, with these urges, by engaging himself in devotional service. And when his mind comes up with these ideas, he rejects them. And again engages his mind in devotional service. But one can see that it's a struggle, in the beginning at least. But he's somehow or another pushing on, and because of that he's getting the mercy of the spiritual master in Krishna. So someone comes in and seems to be already a spontaneous devotee. No desire for anything. Not even the subtle traces of that. Already achieved the goal. No, I have no desire for these things. Very active. He probably is bluffing for some ulterior motive. So when we hear this instruction that we should, that someone who has given up these three illusory desires for wealth, sex life, attraction to sex life, and material position, we shouldn't become fearful, because that is something which happens automatically with the mature practice of devotional service. Attachment may be there, but we should give up the desire for that attachment. We should become situated in a position where we are always afraid of such things. And according to the instruction of the spiritual master, according to the instruction of the scripture, we are practicing our devotional service in such a way as to avoid it. Describes that the best way of becoming free from desire for wealth is to always use what wealth we have in the service of Krishna. Then one is freed from that danger. How to get free from the attachment of beautiful women is either to practice celibacy or to practice regulated householder life in Krishna consciousness. By practicing either brahmacharya or grihastha brahmacharya under the guidance of spiritual master, one can become immune from the attachment to sex life, as one is simultaneously loudly chanting, engaging in the sankirtan preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's holy name and message, and always remaining in the association of strong devotees. But the desire for position is something which is very subtle. Everyone in this material world is hankering for his own importance. Sitting here in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada described that even the rickshaw drivers, they feel themselves very important. One rickshaw driver will consider himself to be more important than the other because he's a faster puller. The other, who knows that he's a slower puller, will think he's more important because he's getting the same money with less work. The other person, who's somewhere in between the two, he thinks that he's better because he gets more money than the other two, because he's able to cheat the people by charging more. In some way or another, everybody has their own conception of their importance. One, he may think that he's a great singer. Although he's a rickshaw driver, he sings more beautiful songs while pulling. Doesn't matter. Everybody has got that sense of material importance. Now that's expanded when one wants to become a minister, or one wants to become a king, or one wants to become a guru. It goes on and expands in different ways. Everyone is trying to get some kind of position of importance, but actually, the position of Vaishnava means to be the servant of the servant of the Lord. And that is the real qualification for one's service to be accepted by Krishna. So where are we? So it's described that one who has given up the desire for these things, he is actually unattached. He's a pure devotee. And such a person who has fully given all of his desires to Krishna, the devotional yogi does not simply give up desires, but he replaces them with a positive alternative to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, engaging everything in his service, knowing that he is the master of all wealth, he is the master of all fame, he is the master of all conjugal relations. He is the perfection of all personal exchanges of love. So one directs all the energy to him, taking the focus off one's material mind and body, taking the focus off one's individual spiritual self, and putting everything in the direction of Krishna. Krishna automatically, he reciprocates and glorifies his devotee, provides him with so many wonderful situations which are reciprocation of that love given to Krishna. But the devotee is not attached to those reciprocations. They more deeply involve that devotee in an intense desire to offer everything to Krishna. So when someone is situated in that position of wanting to give all these material things to Krishna, those material things become spiritualized. And that transcendentalist, he becomes detached. He is a pure devotee. So this spiritual life is like a war where we are battling against the illusory energy. And when someone has actually achieved that position of being detached and a pure devotee, and dedicating everything to Krishna, the material energy accepts defeat. Standing with folded hands, she offers her obeisances. Congratulations! Now you have achieved the success of life. Now you have taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Now I am defeated because you are beyond my purview. You are no longer within the range of my attack. So you have won. Modern ballistics, they always discuss what is the range of each missile, each warhead. If somehow the intercontinental ballistic warhead can get through the range of the radar or of the defense missiles, then it has defeated the enemy and it will detonate on target. Well, everything has its limit in the material world, including the material nature herself. So her dominion for keeping one in illusion is crossed over when one is a pure devotee of Krishna, when one is situated in pure devotional service. So then she's also a devotee of Krishna. This is her duty, to keep everyone in her prison house a prisoner. And she never lets anyone out except when they become a pure devotee of Krishna. And she very gladly accepts defeat, because that was the whole purpose of this material world, to bring people to surrender to Krishna. So although it is her defeat, in another angle, it's her success. She has succeeded in keeping the living entity in illusion until he has come to the real understanding that he is eternal servant of Krishna. Otherwise, he was not able to go and create havoc in the spiritual world where everything is in complete harmony. So, verse 12, Jata jogha vog nahi tata rog anashakto se kiyar kahobo ashakti rohito samanda sahito vishaya samuha sakali madhava.
Just once you accept what is necessary for his body and mind, and this way one won't be affected by the material disease and remain unattached to the material things. This way one should be detached from this material world, but at the same time see everything with relation to Krishna. And this way, because everything in this world is emanation from Krishna's energy. So nothing is non-different from Krishna.
Someone who enjoys his senses in a regulated manner that is appropriate for maintaining the body and soul together, and which is not excessive or against the principles of devotional service, is never to be considered as materially contaminated. He is actually unattached. So what more can I say? Someone who remains in this unattached condition, always seeing everything in relation to Krishna and engaging everything in Krishna's service according to the instructions of the spiritual master, because everything which is ordinarily material, enjoyable objects is actually engaged in the service of Krishna. So everything is non-different from Krishna. Everything is on the transcendental platform. Here is how to achieve real oneness. When everything is engaged in Krishna consciousness, it is all one on the same platform of spiritual quality. Bhagavad Gita describes that when performing a fire sacrifice, the performer of the sacrifice, the act of offering ghee into the fire, the ghee being offered into the fire, and the fire itself, and the sum total of the whole sacrifice, all are situated on the transcendental platform. Just like electricity, everything in touch with electricity becomes electrified. Everything engaged in the service of Krishna becomes transcendentalized. The devotees in Bengal, when they perform the Sankirtan Jagya, or the sacrifice of chanting the congregational chanting the holy names of Krishna, they come and they offer garlands to the Midranga drums. They put sandalwood pulp on the drum, on the kartalas, then on the devotees. They say that the drum is only engaged in Krishna's service, as are the kartalas. They're never engaged in Maya service. Devotee in a neophyte stage may sometimes not be fully fixed up, so they get the second preference. But in any case, all are worshipped as being on the transcendental platform. Even the material objects are spiritualized. What are apparent material objects, they're also spiritualized. So, here it is clearly instructed that performance of material activities according to the religious principles, the higher principles of Krishna consciousness, should never be considered as a material disease or material activity. Rupa Goswami has instructed, Iha yasya hir dasye karmana manasa gira nikalavasvati vastasu jivan mukta suchite. One who engages his mind, words, and activities in the service of Krishna, using different type of materialistic energies, material objects in that service, should never be considered, should be understood that he is already liberated, because everything he's doing is for the purpose of serving Krishna. So, this is the real platform of being unattached. To give up the association of devotees, to go in some secluded place, because one thinks that it's too difficult to deal with all the personality difficulties or to deal with the situations that come up, is actually an attached position. Unattachment means to tolerate all type of difficulties for the purpose of serving Krishna. To accept material objects and then not use them for one's own sense gratification. To accept apparent material situations, but not utilize them for our own sense gratification, but to engage those situations and those objects in the service of Krishna. When one sees a beautiful woman, the natural physical urge will be, oh, this is an object of enjoyment, let me enjoy. Let me try to enjoy with this woman. But devotee sees beautiful woman and thinks, oh, here is a nice conditioned soul. How to engage this conditioned soul in Krishna's service? Who is the master of everyone? So even in an apparent situation of temptation, because the bhakti yogi, the devotee in Krishna consciousness, is rightly situated, he uses every situation, every difficulty, every apparent obstacle to enhance the service of Krishna. Thus, there's no obstacle for him. There's no situation that can be brought up by the material world which can stop his progress in devotional service. But here the mind is being addressed because the mind itself can create a dangerous position for us. When the mind sees these situations, sees the material objects in an enjoying mood, and thinks that I should enjoy this, I should have this, I should be in this position, the mind becomes our enemy. We have to therefore control the mind, keep it always in the proper consciousness, and then there's nothing that can stop the flow of devotional service. Then everything is Madhava, everything is non-different from Krishna, it is under his transcendent, the shelter of his lotus feet.